Most gracious Heavenly Father, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the breath of my body, the spirit of my being that allows me to move, speak, and listen to you. Every day of my life, I give you glory. I give you honor, I give you praise. And upon this day, Heavenly Father, I see the beauty of the flowers by way of the women that you have created, the women that you have sustained, the women that you have imputed your Holy Spirit into. The strength, the power, the unity, the collaboration that's brought forth today, Heavenly Father, is so strong. The guidance, the wisdom that has been shared from Sunday school up until this very moment. Sister Rosie spoke. The word that actually is today. If we continue to abide in you, as you abide in us, we will never fail. But Lord, we thank you for everyone that is here. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, your unfailing word, Heavenly Father, your prophetic word, Heavenly Father, that is before us today, Heavenly Father, to partake and to come together to commune. That iron may sharpen iron. We encourage one another right now, Heavenly Father, by way of your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We test everything by the scriptures, and we live according to the scriptures. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for new beginnings, Heavenly Father. But someone is starting a new beginning, Heavenly Father. Because we know that all things are passed away every time we call upon you, not just when reconciliation and conversion is made, but every day we call upon your name, things are changed for the better good. And Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for our righteous fruit that is continuing to be produced as we stand on your word. Lord, I thank you for strength. I thank you for endurance. I thank you for the leadership here, Lord. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my wife, my daughters, my grandchildren. You know where they are, from Arizona to Louisiana to Los Angeles, Sacramento. Touch them. Keep them, dear Lord. Bless us right now, Heavenly Father, as we go forth. No form or fashion. Just a message straight from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Let every heart say amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Amen. Been a long time, huh? I think I got 20 minutes, right, Sister Williams? To the women, this for you. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and alone? When Jesus Jesus is our portion, a constant friend with thee. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I am free. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. Amen, amen. As you stand to your feet, amen. For God, the reading of God's word. I am free. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I love you. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, huh? All right. So now I got 16 minutes, right, Sister Williams? Amen. 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 The exposition of scripture today, sharing with you, amen, the word of God. Amen. Reading from Proverbs, the first scripture, 11 and 30, along with our other exposition of scriptures. The Gospel of John 15, 1 through 5. Amen. Proverbs 11:30 deals with true wisdom given from God. One verse. The fruit. Somebody say the fruit. Now, I have a little country in me, so it might not come out like you say fruit. Okay. God bless you. The fruit of righteous. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Tell your neighbor, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Real quickly, going to the Gospel of John 15, 1 through 5, amen. Here's where we understand the relationship between the believer and the Savior. One of many scriptures, one that's well befitting for where God is taking us. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Look at your neighbor and say, why are you mad at me? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, somebody say cannot bear fruit of itself. Tell your neighbor, stop saying you did it yourself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But know this, for without me, you can do nothing. I'd like to speak from this thought. I'm filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes from the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. Not moving quickly, but being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Protocol is already being established. Amen. No one is hard of hearing, and truly God is not hard of hearing. Amen. He is practical. His word is practical. He is plain. His word is plain. This is why, as someone was saying in regards to praying, we first need to pray so we get understanding of the word of God before we enter the word of God. As we're entering the word of God, we need to continue to pray. This is why the word of God says, pray in season and out of season. And it does not matter where you are or where you're going. You should always continue to pray. Do I have a witness in the house today? The background and the author and the theological things here, the word proverb means wisdom, which is the ability to live life skillfully. A godly life in an ungodly world, however, it's not a simple thing to do. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. It is not a simple thing to do. It's not a simple assignment. And yes, an assignment. Why? Because as true believers, this is not our home. We are and must continue to occupy and obey the word of the Lord by staying and living according to his word until he returns. We see here that Solomon, the great contributor, asked God for wisdom. Have you ever asked God for wisdom? Try praying and asking God for wisdom and watch him use you as he did Solomon. As so you and I, the best thing we can ever achieve is wisdom. So we will truly understand the meaning, not our will, not our way, but God's will. In God's way. Christ in Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified, in other words, given human character and seen in its perfection. It, wisdom, is divine in 8, 22 and 31, and is the source of biological meaning, relates to life and living through blood relation and spiritual life in 8, 35 and 36, and also chapter 3 and 18. Though much more wisdom is the grand of it all, and that comes from Christ himself. The proof is given when and where. The wisdom is given as he became incarnate, as Christ became incarnate. Wisdom and knowledge was actually flung out into the world. So the things that we see from this table, from this speaker, from the carpet, the shoes we have on, the clothes that we have on, God imputed that by way of the Holy Spirit into man as he blew into man and created man. And that thing that we all have as humanity is given by God. He didn't find it. It was already there. All we needed to do is tap into it. Tell your neighbor, tap into your wisdom. Don't hit them now. Okay. So here I find myself, and this is a personal message here that you should take. I'm filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes from the Lord. And we take note of 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, but of him, it tells us, here's the confirmation for the scholars. Here's the confirmation, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30. For those that have your Bible and is following, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So I glory in the Lord and not in self, for my fruits produced as well as imputed righteousness from the Lord comes from him. Not from the world, but it comes from the Lord. Even more confirmation is seen in Romans 4, 5 through 8. The gospel of John, the beloved whom Jesus loved greatly, was part of the inner circle of disciples and closely associated with Peter and James, John's brother. Together James and John together are the sons that everyone talks about, the sons of thunder in Mark 3 and 17. John's purpose, somebody say, I have a purpose. John's purpose in the gospel is to set forth Christ in his deity, his divine nature. Do we have a witness in the house today? In order to spark, meaning ignite, believing faith in his readers. The word of God goes forth to ignite, touch your spirit, because you got to try the spirit by the spirit. Amen. How many young people we have in here? I thought they would have learned from last time. Anybody in here over 100 years old? Amen. God bless you. Everything that you have, everything that you are. Yes, God made you. Have you ever heard that song? God made you who you are.
Yeah.
Now let me make sure I put a pin right here and put a period. Those things that are not of God is not what God made. So the stuff that you see in the world that's going around, whether it's man or whether it's woman, and if they're not living according to the word of God, that is not of God. Though we face and though we deal with humanity on a daily basis, and I don't mind saying it because I've been called and anointed and appointed to preach the word of God and stand on the word of God. Just like water moves, I need to move. So whether it's gay, homosexual, those that are fornicating with it, that's not what God has called to be done. We love you, but the lifestyle is not acceptable. Do I have a witness in the house today? Do I have a witness in the house today? Well, I might not be called back after this. You started so. As Christian believers, we cannot judge anyone. Judge not unless ye be judged according to your faith and your belief. Amen. We are to lift our brothers and sisters up. Those that are going through things, we are to lift them up. We are to communicate. This is why he says in his word, forsake not the assembly together. Even in this series that we continue to expound upon, remember the first title was God before me and me before God. God has already gone before you. He's already laid the foundation. Now you stand before God, facing many situations in your life, whether it's homework, whether it's marriage issues, whether relationship issues, family issues, children, car issues, whatever it is, we're supposed to what? Go to God for everything, right? Amen. That was a sidebar. We need to remember that in today's exposition of scriptures that the Spirit of God continues to share with us today, a continual inspired word from God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In the correlated scriptures, the connection, relationship, and command of obedience to the word of God is direct and informative in the text, and its settings from the start or jump street, you call it, for daily living. From Proverbs to John 15, it's plain and it's clear of what our directions are. It's clear to the believer as well as the unbeliever that one may be sustained, the believer, and one may be obtained, the unbeliever, the gift of the tree of life by way of its righteous fruit that comes from the Lord. Why? Glad you asked. So he created humanity. And we as human beings, we have thoughts. But this word is so clear, so we do not have any excuses for not doing or getting the understanding of true wisdom that God has given and provided. But in John 1:14, it says the word, which is true wisdom, that became flesh and lived among us. Oh, but to gaze upon his glory. Yes, the Son of God, who is full of grace and truth, the truth and evidence before this multitude today is no longer a mystery in the word that became flesh. Why? Because we know the word of God. Do I have a witness in the house today? Anybody here that does not know the word of God? The truth and evidence is before us today, for it is the account of God becoming man, revealed to the apostles. Listen, John tells his readers that the word became flesh. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He, Jesus, came in the flesh as our high priest to make sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 2:17-18. As the high priest, in short, represented the people, me, you, before God in the temple. Confirmation, Hebrews 5:1-3. So Jesus had to be made like us in every way. This is so simplistic and practical, except sin. I already knew Uncle Rita was waiting for that one. Loving. Hebrews 4:15-26. In order to present us before God, I'm filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes from the Lord because I belong to him. Tell your neighbor, I belong to him. And I must be equipped with the spiritual tools of life. This is why I love my mama so much. I love my daddy too. At least I know where he's at now. But then I didn't. But this is why I love my mom, because she wanted to make sure that we had the word of God. She made sure that, yeah, she drug us to church, man. If you ever heard somebody say that my mama had a drug problem, she wasn't sniffing up nothing on us. She wasn't drinking. She had a spiritual drug. And guess what? I got one too. But it's all good. It's all good. Why? Because Reverend O.T. parenting doesn't stop. It doesn't matter how old you get. Your parent is still your parent, and you will never outlive your parent. But one day you will become parents, as I told my girls You not getting married until the age of 30. Y'all think I'm joking. Mm-mm. I scare so many boyfriends. But the thing is, there's an expectation in life. We have an expectation in life as believers, as children of God, not just to our parents, but also to God himself. So here, Christ came to make that possible for us. Because I belong to him and I must be equipped with the spiritual tools of life. 5 minutes left. For me, so I can stand against the wicked things of this world. In order to do that, I must be equipped. So here in the Proverbs, as we explain the scriptures of 11:30, and true wisdom is given, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he who wins, Bobby, who wins souls is wise. Somebody say, I'm wise. Because I'm trying to win souls. I'm reminded of thankfulness and prayer over here, even in Philippians 1:1-11, as Paul and Timothy, the bond servants, as it was mentioned earlier, that was happy and loyal to Jesus, prayed as I do today, not only for the believer, but for the whole entire world, to have fellowship and confidence in the Lord that had begun a good work in me. Just like Paul and Timothy said to the Philippians over in Philippi with all the saints, and they prayed that they continually be filled, in verse 11, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. To the glory and praise to God. One must, as the tree of life, you standing here as the tree of life, God has already imputed into you the wisdom. You just have to tap into it. One must be willing to share and help someone else so they won't fall into diverse temptation, especially a believer. Believers should not be tripping other believers up. Believers should not be tripping up unbelievers. The unbeliever is watching the believer. And you may be the only word of God that they see at that time, because the word is trying to take their mind and focus it on something else. Do you have a witness in the house today? One of many important principles we need to make sure we have as believers before addressing the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One, we need to make sure that we definitely have self-control. One must seek the Lord for guidance, wisdom, and pray to the Lord. We must pray to the Lord all the time. But the main thing that we must have, even before we get to the fruits of the Spirit, is we need to make sure that we have the right spiritual attitude of character and righteous actions of holiness. Do I have a witness in the house today? So that we won't cause new converts to stumble in looking at us not being Christ-like. Closing here, even in John 15:1-5, the relationship, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. If you're not producing, he's going to take it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that you may have and you may produce more fruit. You are already clean
because the word which I have spoken to you, isn't it amazing that all God has to do is speak a word and it's already done? That right there should let you know that there should be no doubt in your mind in trusting a true and living God. Because guess what? He spoke you into existence. Do we have a witness in the house today? He said, abide in me. So through this extended metaphor of the vine and the branches, we learn the relationship that we have between our Savior. Jesus set forth the basis of Christian living. Jesus set forth the basis of Christian living. Jesus used the imagery of agriculture life at the time, the vine and the crops that represents the vine and the vine dresser. The branches represent us. Have you ever been pruned by God? Have you ever gone through something in life that was not producing fruit? Somebody say, now you're getting nosy, preacher. Well, I come by to let you know that's my job, so I can direct you in the right way to go by way of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not nothing that I've done myself, because I can't do anything myself. But it's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and does. So we need to understand that here, specifically, the true vine and the Father as the vine dresser or caretaker of the vine has two types of branches. Somebody say, what is it? I'm glad you asked. The branches that bear fruit and the branches that do not. Which one are you? The branches that bear fruit are genuine believers, though in immediate context, the focus is upon the faithful disciples at this time that leads back to the imaginary encompasses of all believers down through the ages. The branches that do not bear fruit are those who profess to believe, but they're lacking fruit. What do you mean, preacher? There's a lot of people standing on the promises. But then guess what? There's a lot of people that's pretending that's just sitting on the premises. And they're acting like they're true believers. Why? Well, we know why. Because they're seeing what's happening with the believer and how they're being blessed. So they think that they can mingle in and do the same thing and carries those same traits like Judas did. But guess what? It won't work. Because the word of God said there's going to come a time that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. And I come by to let you know that that time is here. Time is winding up. You got to get it right now. You can't wait till tomorrow. Why? Because the word of God tells us that it's not promised. I didn't say it. God said it. Somebody say, move on, preacher. So here we see the image of non-fruit bearing branches being burned. That pictures eschatology, judgment, and eternal rejection. But I am the vine. Claims to the deity in the form of I am, statements by Jesus in the Gospel of John. Yes, he takes away is the picture of the vine dresser here, getting rid of the dead wood so that the living fruit bears branches may sharply be distinguished between the non-living fruit. This is the picture of Christians who never genuinely believe and will be taken away in judgment. The transforming life of Christ has never pulsated within them. Though they said it with their mouth, they did not believe it in their heart. And God knows your heart. But here he says, as I close, if you abide in me and I in you, straight from the words of our young people. If you stick with me, homie, I will stick with you. But if you cross me, homie, I'm going to cross you. What did God, what did Jesus say, though? He said that I would never leave you nor forsake you. So guess what? What we find out when we grew up is that when I looked for my homies, no one was there. Better yet, when I got ready to graduate, almost 10 of them was already gone, Compton High. Why? Because they didn't have the foundation that they needed to stand on. And even if that foundation was there, they ignored it. And everybody started doing things their own way. But who was standing in that gap? And this is how it relates to you today. Mama and daddy were standing in the gap. And what did they do? They shared with me the fruits of righteousness that I needed to sustain me and keep me, just like his word did. Guess where they got it from? They got it from their daddy. They got it from their daddy? Yes, Abba Father. All of our fathers. The word of God. And they stood on his word just like you guys are doing today. And I come by today and I applaud you, whether man or woman, to remain steadfast in the word of God. Do not move from where you are. Because God is already working a good work in you. We need to understand that the principles and the values that we continue to impart to each other and our children, especially during the time of our lives, are significantly impact us. They will significantly impact us today. But the fruits of the righteous are really needed right now. Because everybody has gone astray. And yes, getting an education is good, but making sure that biblical education is priority is key. For one must have a committed relationship with the Lord. And if you don't, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Do I have a witness in the house today? Yes, great education is good. Great education helps you get a great job, and a great job helps you get great things that comes from God. The world didn't give it to you. The world can't take it away. When God gives it to you, he makes sure that everything falls in line. There's no wanting. But know that all things come from him through everything that you get, the knowledge, the understanding, the call of wisdom. Ask God for the wisdom so that fruit will be produced in you. For he has already imputed his spirit to you. We must invest and commit ourselves to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I have to invest in the Lord in order to develop and have righteous morals and traits to help us truly succeed in life. This is something that I have to repeat as an operations manager to employees all the time. Though you're doing the work, what are you learning from the work that you are doing? You cannot work the field unless you know the field. You cannot use the word of God unless you know the word of God. You will not know what God can do unless you try them for yourself. Do I have a witness in the house today? For my testimony of knowing that I am filled with the fruits of the Lord is that I know that he's holy. And I must be holy. I know that he's absolute. I must stand and strive in the truth. I know that he is righteous. And I am righteous because he lives in me. My Savior is just. And I must live for and stand for justice. My Savior is merciful. He changes not. And he is faithful. But most of all, he is love. How you know? Glad you asked. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his son not to condemn the world, but through his son, the world would be saved. Do I have a witness in the house today? My God Almighty, he came down in the form of man to show us how to live a right life. He showed us how to love right. He came down to save even a wretch like me, and he came down to save a wretch like you. And I took upon him as my savior through the confession of my mouth and the belief in my heart, because he took upon himself the sins of the world. He didn't have to love us. He didn't have to die for us, but he chose to. So if he did that for us, what are we doing for him? But he came down and he showed us how to live, and he came down and he walked that road, and he carried that cross down the Via Dolorosa road up to Calvary's mountain, and where he allowed them to lay him on that old rugged cross, the altar that became the altar and the shed blood. Why should shed blood? Because without the shedding of blood, there should be no remission of sin. And he did this for us, but he told them, Deacon Johnson, that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But they didn't believe him, mother. They lifted him up. They lifted him up. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. In the lock of head of his lock of his shoulders, he died. They took him down. They say what? They put him in a borrowed tomb, right? My rock, in a rock. And then they had the nerve to put guards outside of the tomb to make sure that they still didn't believe. But guess what? He was there all night Friday night, all day Saturday night. But guess what? Early Sunday morning. Somebody say early Sunday morning. He got up. He got up. He got up for you. He got up for me. He was true to his word, the first fruit of righteousness shown through our Savior. What are you going to do? I'm going to remain steadfast in the word of God. I'm going to continue to fellowship and come and do the will that God has called me to do, so he can continue to work a good work in me. Why? Because I am filled with the righteous fruit from the Lord that has been imputed to each and every one of us from birth. You want to know your birth record? It's not the one on the paper. It's the one that started in Genesis. You were born when God spoke you into existence. So all praise and glory, like it says in scripture, this is why it goes to the Lord and not unto men. Do I have a witness in the house today? Do you love him today? Come on, give him.